All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're ready to get started here today. Again, we have a very famous guest speaker. Ray. We just had a couple great weeks with Donovan. Who would you like to pray for you?
You know what? Ed, please, this morning.
Ed?
All right, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for this morning, Lord God. We thank you for Ray and the preparation that he's prepared, Lord God. Lord, just use him, speak through him, and Lord, that we would hear your word. Lord, that our ears would be open. Lord, that we wouldn't just let it fall on deaf ears. Lord, let your spirit move here today, and we welcome you in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, can you guys hear me back there pretty good? Good. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Glory. Good. Okay. We got the okay. This morning I'm going to be talking about something that's very important, and it's how you know things that we can do or things that we do that can quench the Holy Spirit. So this morning I have the task or the honor of talking about two things that we can do or that happens that can quench the Holy Spirit. And the first one I got is to put on my glasses so that I can read what it is. And the first one, and I broke it up in two parts. The first one is discard. And the definition, you know, in the Webster's Dictionary is dispose of, throw away, or out, get rid of, toss out, or cast aside. Now, all those definitions, the one that really kind of jumped at me is cast aside. I got out here on some notes. It says, we indulge so much in our own desires to the point that our heart gets so hard that we no longer hear what God is saying to us. You know, and it's true, we get caught up in our own thoughts and, you know, what I think this should happen or what I think this is how this should go. And we just start, like that word, setting aside, we start trying to put God aside and start trying to do things our own way and how we would like it to happen. You know? And how many times have we done that and it just flopped? It just did not happen. Just me. Okay. So, nobody wants to raise their hand. Amen. But it's true. I mean, we try to do it and it doesn't happen. And we set, you know, the bar so high for how we want to do it. And then when we crash and we realize it just didn't happen that way, it really hits us hard. And then a lot of times we want to try and blame God or blame the church or the pastor or something. You know, I'm sure the pastor's been through that a lot. It's your fault, Pastor. You know, if Pastor Don would just let me do it my way, it probably would have worked out. You know, I'm sure, you know. So I got out here just a few things that I put together. And so what do we discard that can quench the Holy Spirit? And one of the first things I got is seeking God. To seek God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And now that's very important, because if anything can quench the Holy Spirit, it's not seeking God. You know, we have to make sure that everything we do, we put him first. On everything we do. Okay? It's not just a part-time. This is an everyday life. You know, he's there for us every single day, right? Every single day he's there for us. So why shouldn't we make sure that in our walk is an everyday walk? You know, it shouldn't be that it's, you know, when it's convenient for us, you know, just when we think it's the right time for us. It's an everyday. You know, every day we need to get into his word. Every day we need to get in prayer. Every day we have to make sure that we try and make that time for that one-on-one relationship with him, that one-on-one time with him. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So again, if we're not doing that, so the opposite of not doing that, that's how we can quench the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not doing that, if we're not seeking God first, okay, then we're not really being obedient to God's word. Because again, every single day is a day. I mean, I look at it as every single day is a new day. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, they just look forward to coming to church because they're expecting something new. You know, somebody has a question? Oh, okay. So, you know, they're expecting something new. You know, they just can't wait to get there because they just know something new is going to happen. And you know, I was talking at the home group one time where I was at home and I just wasn't feeling well. And I really debated on not coming to church. I'm like, you know, I just don't feel too good. And, you know, but then it just hit me. You know what? That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to keep me at home because something great is going to happen. You know? So I said, no, you know what? I'm going to get to church. And I said, if I can just get to church, I am going to be healed. If I can just get to church, just let me get to church. And I know as soon as I get to church, I'm going to start feeling better. And that's what I put in my heart. So I got up and, you know, my wife said, come, yeah, let's go. So we came to church. You know, and I come to church and I'm saying hi to everybody. And I was on the praise and worship team that day. And I went up, and as I'm playing up there, it hit me. It's like, wow, I don't feel sick anymore. I actually feel pretty good. Start playing little bongos a little bit harder that day. You guys heard me that day? You guys remember that day? Amen. So, I mean, that's how we should be every single day. You know, what is God going to do today? We should have that attitude. It's like, what's he going to do today?
Yeah, I'm Sandra. Just kidding. I taught Tuesdays ago. And one of the things God had been telling me is that every morning when you wake up, you're in a mission field.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone always talks about going on mission trips and all these things, but because we were talking about Paul and how every day he just woke up and it was his mission field. And that's how we need to feel about our lives and how the minute we put our foot on the floor, you're in your mission field, whether it's in your house or it's in your job or, you know, it's wherever you're going to meet someone. And at the end of the week that week, I had ordered these cake pans from this lady and I had to go pick them up. And I hadn't gotten a chance to go pick them up when I should have gotten to pick it up. So I think the delay was really God's designed purpose anyway, because when I went to pick them up that day, she just started talking about how, you know, God gave her the ability to do the cakes because it was her therapy, because she had a multitude of family members who died within a year, and that's what she used. And the whole time God kept telling me, you're going to pray for her, you're going to pray for her. Well, I was late for work. So I was like, okay. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just pray for her when I get in my car. And God goes, nope, you're going to pray for her. So lo and behold, I had to pray for her at her house. And I thought, how awesome is God that God took me to her door, because it was her house, to make me pray for her when I could have, you know, done it anywhere else. But I went to her door. So my mission field was at her house. It was pretty cool.
Amen. Again, these points right here, it was, you know, what can we discard? You know, if we toss aside seeking God first, and I read the scriptures, and I got here a note. God isn't hiding from us. He's right now in our presence and desiring a close relationship. Sometimes we miss God because we don't have room enough for him in our daily lives. We must cut down the busyness because none of it will matter right before the last breath. You know, it's like you said, it's, you know, sometimes we wait for that, for the, you know, we want it to be at the great time, you know, when it's 76 outside and it's a beautiful weather and everything's going fine and the flowers are bloomed and it's just a beautiful day. This is the day I want God to use me in. Oh, Bob has a lot of testimonies on that one.
As everybody knows, we bought a new house. We haven't even moved in yet. We're getting close. But I was out mowing the lawn last week, I think it was, mowing the lawn. And there's a subdivision right behind us. Car pulls out, pulls over. I got all the rocks, so he couldn't pull in my feet. But he pulls right up front and stops and starts waving. I don't know who this guy is, so I stopped, went over and talked. I said, hi. He said, hey, I hear you're a preacher. I said, I am a minister. I said, what's up? He just got a call. His brother was in the hospital dying, and he said, you know, he's so shook up he could barely drive. He asked me to pray for him. You know, sitting on a John Deere, pulled up next to him. Where else is that going to happen? Got my hand out praying for that guy. He's got his head hung over. He's going by at 55, but, you know, is that an opportune time or the best place? No, but that's the time that God sets things in action. You got to do it.
Amen. Amen. I mean, like I said, I mean, we want to make sure that we don't discard that. You know, we want to make sure that we take that opportunity that God gives us to do his will. It's not always at the perfect time or the perfect place. You know, in an elevator, praying over somebody with a knife sticking out of them. Right, Bob? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's we got to make sure that we don't throw away the opportunity to be used by God. And we can do that, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in, again, our own desires and what we like, or, you know, this ain't the right time or the right place. And Lord, just send me somebody else tomorrow, because tomorrow will be better for me. You know, it's right here, right now. Sammy has.
God just brought something to my mind, reminded me of something. A couple weeks ago, actually a couple months ago, I found out a friend of mine at work, him and his wife are now expecting a baby, and, you know, me and Candace are expecting a baby, so it's kind of cool to go through it together. And he's a good friend at work. He grew up as an atheist, and he started coming to church and stuff like that, and so he's getting real excited about this baby. Well, he found out that the baby had a mark on its kidney or liver, something like that, like a huge organ, and it had cleft lip. So he's, like, really devastated, and he was, like, almost teary-eyed at work. And I'm like, well, let's just pray. You know, I don't have any other answers for you, but I know God can intervene in this situation. So we began to pray at work, and a couple days later, I'm just, like, texting him, waiting for the answer, and he's like, you know, they said it's going to be something more than cleft lip. There's probably going to be Down syndrome, another symptom. And I'm like, well, we're just going to pray for God's healing. That's it. He's like, you know, actually, for the first time, I prayed. And I'm like, praise God. This is awesome. You know, like, I know what you're going through is hard, but maybe this is just God trying to get you to have a relationship with you. And he's like, you know, I'm just hoping and trusting that God will do something. Well, he got the test results back. There's no other symptoms except for the cleft lip. And the cleft lip is something that they can have surgery and repair it just like that. So just want to give a praise report.
Amen.
That.
Amen. We serve a powerful God. I mean, he's a healer. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek me. I'm saying seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I mean, talking about healing. Amen. The second thing, or one of the other things that we can discard, throw away, toss aside, is prayer. Our prayer time is our conversation and one-on-one time with our Father. That's the time to have a conversation with him. Anything or everything that's going on in our lives, we need to grab that time to talk to him. The same way we grab that time to call a friend about a game, about some event or something that happens, and we're on the phone for 2 hours doing that. You know, nothing wrong with, you know, sports or anything like that. But we have to, and I have to, make sure that I grab that time to have that one-on-one with him. You know, my wife sometimes looks at me like, you know, like, I'll go on, we have a Chase Lounge, I'll go on the Chase Lounge, and I'll put on my headphones, and I'll hook it up to my phone, and I'll just start listening to praise and worship music, and I zone everything else out. And I'll just lay back, and I'll just start meditating, and I'm listening to the music, and it's just ministering to me. And that's my time, and it's just me and him. And I'm just having a conversation with him, you know, and I'm just listening to this wonderful music, and it's just touching and tonguing at my heart, you know. You guys heard that song, Mary, Did You Know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm coming from Chicago. I'm listening to praise and worship, and I got my phone, and I happened just to put that one on, and it starts playing. And I actually start listening to the words, each single word. For about 20 miles, I'm bawling. Just listening to those words. You know, and how true it is. You know. So, I mean, if for me, it's the praise and worship. It's for you, if praise and worship. And it might be something different for all of us. But we need to make sure that we grab that time to not discard the opportunity to get one-on-one with him. To not toss aside our prayer time. Because prayer time is key. I mean, if we're not having that conversation with him, then who are we having it with? She has something.
I just want to attest and testify. And
amen. Amen. Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.
Everything that you were talking about just brought a scripture to my memory, and this is like one of my favorite because it always kind of puts it in perspective for me of how important it is. And it's Proverbs 2:4, and it's talking about, you know, going after the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, and it just says, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. And then I think about it, and it's like, if I knew that there was a hidden treasure that no one else knew about here, or if I had a map and I came across something, I'd be doing everything I can to get to it. Like, in the world's eyes, like, if you knew there were millions buried somewhere, I'd be renting an excavator. I'd be digging up the field. Where's it at? I wouldn't be sleeping. And I'd be doing everything I can to get that treasure. And I just thought that scripture was kind of cool because it really is a treasure to know the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
But would you share that treasure?
Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I mean, I mentioned prayer there 3 or 4 times. So again, talking about discarding, we cannot and should not discard our prayer time. I mean, it's so easy to do a lot of times because we get involved with work. You know, we got the kids, and the kids, one's in soccer, the other one's in football, the other one's in tennis, or whatever it is. And, you know, it's so easy to get kind of caught up in the day, you know, that we set aside prayer. I'll pray later. You know, God knows my heart. He knows that I'm busy. I'll talk to him later. Tomorrow's never guaranteed. Later might not come. Now's the time. If it's in your heart right now, if you're thinking about prayer at that time, thinking, I know I should be praying, but I got this going on. No, stop what you're doing. Find a closet. Go in the car. Do whatever you need to do to make sure you say, no, you know what? Right now, I need to spend time with him. I need to spend time with my Father because prayer is so important. I mean, that's what keeps us going, that prayer, that conversation time with him. Through our times of struggle, when we're going through something, I need to talk to my dad about this. You know, have that one-on-one time. It's so important because it's so easy, again, to set aside that time. You know, what I mean by that is not setting the time for it, but instead setting the time to later. I'll get to that later. I'll pray later. You know, later on when I'm home and I'm relaxed and, you know, I've done this and I've done that, then I'll go ahead and pray. And it's so easy to do that. We get caught up on our daily lives. Discarding the word. Setting aside the word. Just tossing to aside. I'll get to the word later. Again, just like prayer. Prayer and word, they go together. Word of God and prayer, they go together. You know? And a lot of times, we'll do the same thing. I'll read my word later. I'm just so tired right now. I got so many things going on right now. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's in Hebrews 4:12. In Psalms 119:9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. It's a good question. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Very simple. By living according to your word, God's word. You know, so again, it's so easy for us to discard, to put aside, to toss, you know, to one corner the word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we want to make sure that, you know, we're doing the right things and we want God to use it, we need to get into his word. His word is going to tell us exactly what we need to do, where we need to go, how we should act. It tells us everything. Because you know what? It's his word. It says right there, all scripture is God-breathed. So it comes from him. He wants us to know what we need to do or how we need to do it to draw closer to him. So it says on there, so we can thoroughly be equipped for every good work. So we can be used. You know, I'm sure if you ask yourself or if you thought how good it felt when God used you to do something. You remember that day? If you think about it, you remember that day when after you did it, you turned around, you're like, that was awesome. And that feeling, and you know, it felt so great. Gosh, that's great. I didn't know God can use me that way. That feeling that you felt, it's an awesome, that's God's power. And sometimes, how many times after God used you, you actually went to your head like, I never knew that could happen that way. I didn't know I could do that. Fred has given testimony on how God used him with some scriptures that he never knew he knew. That's God's power. And afterwards, he thought about it like, whoa, where did that come from? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He's always there with us. Esther.
I enjoy when we are, you know, spending time with God. I really enjoy, like yesterday, for instance, the teaching that was yesterday. I mean, they hit it, and there was like 40, 50 people here, and they hit it right on with so many people. I mean, let's say, for instance, if I spoke with five women, all five of us were going through something that they spoke directly into our lives. Like today, I mean, there's like several scriptures and several things you've already said that God has already ministered to me during the week. So really, the more that we do spend with him, the more he just confirms by us, you know, and that's the reason why we have to unite with the brethren, to build ourselves up with your teaching that he's confirming in whatever we're going through. I mean, like you say, you get, I don't know, but I don't know about you guys, but I get a surge of energy going, yes, thank you, Jesus, you know.
Amen.
So, I mean, it was a beautiful thing, yesterday's teaching, the women, and then you confirming it, and then now we're going to go into the teaching out here, you know, with whoever's teaching, and more is God going to pour into us saying, yes, you're doing the right thing. Hang on. There's hope, and I know you're you're struggling, and I know it's hard, but you got strength because I'm here with you. No matter how much pain you're in, no matter how much, hurt you're going through, I'm here with you. So we need you. We need one another. We need each other.
Amen. Again, that's why it's so important that we don't, and again, the word is discard, that we don't set aside, that we don't throw away that prayer time, that getting into the word with Christ, that fellowship with the brothers and sisters. I got here President George Washington, first president of the United States. He wrote this: "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. And that was cool that was up there because I sometimes forget in what order. But Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. "I am busily engaged in the study of the Bible. I believe it is God's word because it finds me where I am. I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good of the Savior of the world is communicated to us through that book." Woodrow Wilson, 28th president of the United States. "When you have read the Bible, you know it is the word of God because it is the key to your heart, your own happiness, and your own duty." In schools nowadays, you mentioned the Bible, something like that, they start, not here. And these are some of the presidents that spoke on how important it was to have God's word. So again, it's the word I was talking about is discarding, putting aside, just, not right now. And again, these are some other presidents of the United States that from the 1600s, 1800s, even from that time, and actually it goes beyond that. But these are some of the words from presidents of the United States that our government back then acknowledged and realized how important it was to have God's word. And in our lives today, how important it is. The second thing, and I'll go over this one a little bit here. One of the things that can also quench the Holy Spirit is dissension. Disagreement, differences of opinion, dispute, dissent, conflict, friction, argument, controversy. How many times have we had one of those in our lives? Just one of them. It's just one of them. And it's a fact that we're not going to agree on everything with everybody. Everybody, we're all human beings. We're all different. My favorite color is royal blue. It might not be your favorite color. By the way, who does like royal blue here? See, I'm the only one. I feel unique. What's that? It's a royal blue. It's royal. There's royal in it. Royal blue. Okay, so again, we are going to have difference of opinion on some things. We might not agree on everything, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I like blue. Some people like oranges. Some people don't like oranges. Whatever. It's okay. And it starts becoming not an issue, but when it's dissent, conflict, friction, argument, or controversy. Philippians 2:14-16. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly in the word of life."
At the women's meeting yesterday, I talked about how Donovan talked about Patton, and I was sharing with the women that, about the Battle of the Bulge War and how Adolf Hitler came in to cause division amongst them, mm-hmm. because then he could win the war, but it didn't work. We won. And I told him, I said, the enemy will put our perception of things, our perception, against our brothers and sisters. And he'll come and he'll try and divide. And when he can put division there, then he can cause you to fall. And so we got to be very careful, because what we see, what we feel doesn't matter. That's what God's word says. And everybody does have difference of opinions, different colors they like. But the thing is, we're in this together, and we need each other. And without each other, we'll fall.
Amen. Well, one thing we all should agree on is that he died for us. We all agree on that one.
Amen.
Amen. We can all agree on that one. And he resurrected on the third day. We all agree on that one.
Yeah.
Now, does the world agree with us? No. But it's our duty. It's our responsibility to go out there and preach God's good news and let them know that it is true. Well, how do we know that? Through his word.
Amen.
Everything is in his word. Who devises evil things in their hearts, they continually stir up wars. And that brought up to me, and I'll try and go through this briefly here, in Exodus. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." And we got to remember the story. Moses went out to the mountain to have that one-on-one time with God. Okay? And what happened? As soon as he turned around, he was gone a little too long for them. It only took one person to start causing that division, to start that rumor, to start that gossip, to start all that junk is what it really was. You know? How many times did it happen to us? If something doesn't start going real quick for us, well, Lord, I mean, did you hear me when I asked you that one the other day? I mean, seriously. Lord, I think it's time that you answer my prayer. This is taking a little too long.
Wow.
You know I have to go on this vacation trip. I need that prayer answered tomorrow. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray again tonight. I'll remind you again tonight.
One more time.
What we talked about yesterday.
Okay.
Sometimes those are conversations that we have with Christ.
Yes,
it is.
That's true.
Right? Because our flesh kind of takes over.
Yes, sir.
Right? And not the spirit man.
Yes, sir.
The flesh takes over.
Yes, sir.
And we want to try and tell him how he should do it and how fast he should do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're down there, and Moses is taking a little too long for them. Okay? You know what? And it says on here, this fella called Moses. All of a sudden, now it's this fella. He went from Moses is with us, to this fella. He got downgraded real quick. As soon as it wasn't going their way, as soon as he was taking a little too long for their liking, that name changed. Yes.
I just wanted to confirm what you were saying, too, about going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, because it takes me back to, first of all, our president okaying the gay marriages. Now he's sending out a national agenda for all the public restrooms, too. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, if we was really on our job, if we was really praying, really, because one person can't make a difference either way, but if we were really on our jobs, praying on our knees, humbling ourselves, he would forgive our sins and heal our lands. Same God.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever, and he changing our. So, and saying that, I just wanted to confirm all that because it's true. One person can make a difference. My grandmother was one. She had got to a church that she enjoyed being in, Koji Pentecostal, and she got all of us in there, all 9 kids, her daughter, her family, it's about 13 in her family. I mean, we took up one side of the church with this one lady, which is my grandmother. So, like I said, one person, like you said, Adolf, I'm just saying, one person can make a difference. And if we really pray, like, humbly, and
amen,
really sought God like we should, none of this would ever happen. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Amen. Church needs to continue to pray and get into his word. It says, Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and their daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So the people took off their earrings and all the gold, and he took what they handed him and made into an idol cast and shaped it to a calf. He fashioned it with tool. Then they said, "These are the gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." And, you know, because of time, I'll jump into another verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt, okay, have become corrupt. They have quick to turn away from what I commanded them to have, had commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.'" Says, I have seen this, these people, the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." Again, so this is, you know, and this is what can happen. I mean, we start trying to cause division. I mean, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters. We're to be together, you know, as one. Just as the body is one, okay, so should we be. Again, we have difference of opinions. We have different thoughts, okay? But when we let the enemy try to sneak in there, when we're not putting on our full armor, when we kind of skip in a piece or two, and the enemy kind of sees that weak spot where you didn't do it, where you didn't put that on, the full armor, he sneak in and he starts trying to cause division, okay? He starts putting thoughts in your head and, you know, they don't care about you or this ain't right, and you start letting that fester in your heart. And then the next thing you want to do is leave. You're not walking away from the church. You're walking away from God. Walk away from your covering. You know? And I tell you what, for me personally, being at this church, coming to having the brothers and sisters, is so important in my life. And I'm sure a lot of people have testimonies to that, where if they want to found the church, this church, who knows where they would be right now. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, "I love this church because this church, you feel the warmth, you feel the love, you feel like it's a family." Pastor Don.
Yeah, Wednesday night there were three girls that played for me. They came over to the ice cream special. Well, the one girl had been here before, Heidi. And so the next day there was like a little party, one of the after the games, girl had a birthday party. So I was sitting there talking to this girl, you know, just eating, and she says, "You know what I like about your church? Man, all those people are so friendly. They came up to me and asked me how I was doing." She says, "I've been going to my church for years. Nobody even knows who I am." That's how much of an impact you guys made, just on, you know, a couple kids that were sitting here. But, you know, that is what she was longing for, you know, somebody to come and say, "Hi, how are you? Who are you? You know, what's, yeah, that's exactly right." And so, you know, like you said, that, you know, the people in this church will make a big difference because of their love for other people. And she recognized that, you know, right off the bat. And that's what really impressed her. It wasn't somebody coming, sitting down, giving her a track or what have you.
Amen. So I'll close up with this real quick. Again, so we saw what happened. I mean, they start, you know, Moses went from being Moses to being that fella. You know? And we need to make sure, we want to make sure that we're not that kind of people. That, you know, just because it's not happening today at this time, that's okay. God has everything in control. He knows how he wants to handle it. Because I guarantee you, a lot of times when we handle it, okay, and we have it so fast, it's not what we really wanted. You know why? Because it's not what God wanted. It's what we wanted. And the end results, half the times, we really don't want it, didn't like it. You know why? Because we didn't give it to him. If we give it to him and let God do it on his time, it'll all work out. Okay, because I'll read here real quick and I'll close with this one. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, instead of dissension, God teaches us love. Pastor John talked about it last week about love and everything that goes in with love. And like Pastor Don just said, you know, that young girl saw the love that this church has. Now, where do we get that? God. From not discarding his word, from not discarding, you know, the prayer time. Because when we dig into prayer time and into word, that love just starts building up in us. It just, we just can't help it. We just start feeling the Holy Spirit. It just starts taking over. And we start drawing closer to God. And people should see that difference, and they will see that difference. Amen? Amen. And with that, we have prayer downstairs. Amen? Amen.